Chapter 12. Gideon and I arrived back in Manhattan just before midnight on Sunday. We'd spent the previous night sleeping apart, but most of the day together in the master bed, kissing and touching, laughing and whispering. By silent agreement, we didn't talk about painful things during the rest of our time away. We didn't turn on the television or radio because it seemed wrong to share our time with anyone. We walked on the beach again. We made long, slow, lazy love on the third-story deck. We played cards, and he won every hand. We recharged and reminded ourselves that what we'd found with each other was worth fighting for. It was the most perfect day of my life. We returned to my apartment when we got back into the city. Gideon unlocked the door for us with the key I'd given him, and we entered the darkened space as quietly as possible so that we didn't wake Carrie. Gideon gave me one of his soul-melting kisses goodnight and headed to the guest room, and I crawled into my lonely bed without him, missing him. I wondered how long we'd be sleeping apart from each other. Months? Years? Hating to think of it, I closed my eyes and started to drift. The light flicked on.
"Ava, get up."
Gideon strode into the room and straight to my dresser, digging through my clothes. I blinked at him, noting that he'd changed into slacks and a button-down dress shirt. "What's wrong?"
"It's Carrie," he said grimly. "He's in the hospital."
A cab was waiting for us at the curb when we left my apartment building. Gideon ushered me in, then slid in beside me. The cab seemed to pull away very slowly. Everything seemed to be moving slowly. I clutched at Gideon's sleeve. "What happened?"
"He was attacked Friday night."
"How do you know?"
"Your mother and Stanton both left messages on my cell phone."
"My mother?" I looked at him blankly. "Why didn't she?"
"No, she couldn't call me. I hadn't had my phone.
Guilt and worry drowned me, making it hard to breathe."
"Ava?"
He put his arm around my shoulders, urging me to rest my head against him.
"Don't worry until we know more."
"It's been days, Gideon, and I wasn't here." Tears poured down my face and wouldn't stop, even after we arrived at the hospital. I barely registered the exterior of the building, my attention dulled by the hard driving anxiety pounding through me. I thanked God for Gideon, who was so calm and in control. A staff member provided the number of Carrie's room, but his helpfulness ended there. Gideon made a few middle-of-the-night phone calls that got me access to see Carrie, even though it was well outside visiting hours. Gideon had been a very generous benefactor at times, and that wasn't easily dismissed or forgotten. When I stepped into Carrie's private room and saw him, my heart shattered so completely my knees went weak. Only Gideon kept me from falling. The man I thought of as my brother, the best friend I'd ever had or ever would have, lay silent and unmoving in the bed. His head was bandaged and his eyes blackened. One of his arms was stuck with intravenous lines, while the other was in a cast. I wouldn't have recognized him if I hadn't known who he was. Flowers covered every flat surface, cheerful and colorful bouquets. There were balloons, too, and a few cards. I knew some would be from my mother and Stanton, who were certainly paying for Carrie's care as well. We were his family, and everyone had been there for him but me. Gideon led me closer, his arm tight around my waist to hold me up. I was sobbing, the tears flowing thick and hot. It was everything I could do to remain silent. Still, Carrie must have heard me or sensed me. His eyelids fluttered, then opened. His beautiful green eyes were bloodshot and unfocused. It took him a minute to find me. When he did, he blinked a few times, and then tears started rolling down his temples. "Carrie?" I rushed to him and slipped my hand in his. "I'm here." He gripped me so tightly it was painful.
"Ava."
"I'm sorry I took so long. I didn't have my phone. I had no idea. I would have been here if I'd known."
"It's okay," You're here now.
His throat worked on a swallow.
God, everything hurts.
I'll get a nurse,
Gideon said, running his hand down my back before slipping silently out of the room. I saw a small pitcher and cup with straw on the rolling tray table. Are you thirsty?
Very.
Can I sit you up? Or no? I was afraid to do anything to cause him pain.
Yeah.
Using the remote lying near his hand, I raised the top part of the bed so that he was reclined. Then I brought the straw to his lips and watched him drink greedily. He relaxed with a sigh.
You're a sight for sore eyes, baby girl.
What the hell happened? I set the empty cup down and grabbed his hand again.
Fuck if I know.
His voice was weak, almost a whisper.
Got jumped. With a bat.
With a bat? Just the thought made me physically ill. The brutality of it. The violence. Was he insane?
Of course,
he snapped, a deep line of pain between his brows. I backed up a half step.
I'm sorry. No, don't. Shit.
His eyes closed.
I'm exhausted.
Just then, the nurse came in wearing scrubs decorated with cartoon tongue depressors and animated stethoscopes. She was young and pretty, with dark hair and slow eyes. She checked Carrie over, took his blood pressure, then pressed the button on a remote wrapped around the guardrail. You can self-administer every 30 minutes for pain, she told him. Just press this button. It won't dispense a dose if it's not time, so you don't have to worry about pressing it too often.
Once is too often,
he muttered, looking at me. I understood his reluctance. He had an addictive personality. He'd traveled a short ways down the junkie road before I kicked some sense into him. But it was a relief to see the lines of pain on his forehead smooth out and his breathing settle into a deeper rhythm. The nurse looked at me. He needs his rest. You should come back during visiting hours. Carrie looked at me desperately.
Don't go.
She's not going anywhere, Gideon said, re-entering the room. I've arranged to have a cot brought in tonight.
I didn't think it was possible to love Gideon more than I already did, but he somehow kept finding ways to prove me wrong. The nurse smiled shyly at Gideon. Carrie could use more water, I told her, watching her pull her gaze reluctantly away from my boyfriend to look at me. She grabbed the pitcher and left the room. Gideon stepped closer to the bed and spoke to Carrie.
Tell me what happened.
Carrie sighed.
Trey and I went out Friday, but he had to bail early. I walked him out to grab a cab, but it was nuts right in front of the club, so we went around the corner. He'd just taken off when I got nailed in the back of the head, took me straight down and wailed on me a few times. Never got a chance to defend myself.
My hands began to shake, and Carrie's thumb rubbed soothingly over the back.
Hey,
he murmured.
Teaches me. Don't stick my dick in the wrong chick.
What? I watched Carrie's eyes drift shut, and a moment later it was clear he was sleeping. I glanced helplessly across the bed at Gideon.
I'll look into it, he said. Step out with me for a minute.
I followed him, my gaze repeatedly turning back to Carrie. When the door closed behind us, I said, God, Gideon, he looks terrible.
He got knocked around good, he said grimly. He's got a skull fracture, a nasty concussion, 3 cracked ribs, and a broken arm.
The list of injuries was horribly painful to listen to. I don't understand why someone would do this. He pulled me close and pressed his lips to my forehead.
The doctor said it's possible Carrie will be allowed to leave in a day or two, so I'll make arrangements for home care. I'll also let your work know you won't be coming in.
Carrie's agency needs to know.
I'll see to it.
Thank you. I hugged him hard. What would I do without you?
You're never going to find out.
My mother woke me at 9 the next morning, gliding fretfully into Carrie's room as soon as visiting hours began. She pulled me out to the hallway, drawing the attention of everyone in the immediate area. It was early, but she looked amazing in eye-catching red-soled Louboutins and an ivory sleeveless sheath dress.
Ava, I can't believe you went the entire weekend without your cell phone. What were you thinking? What if there had been an emergency?
There was an emergency.
Exactly.
She threw up one hand, since the other arm had her clutch tucked beneath it.
No one could get a hold of you or Gideon. He left a message saying that he was taking you away for the weekend, but no one knew where you were. I can't believe he was so irresponsible. What was he thinking?
Thank you, I interjected, because she was getting wound up and repeating herself, for taking care of Carrie. It means a lot to me.
Well, of course.
My mother took it down a notch.
We love him too, you know. I'm devastated this happened.
Her lower lip trembled, and she dug in her bag for her ever-ready handkerchief. Are the police investigating? I asked.
Yes, of course. But I don't know how much good it will do.
She dabbed at the corners of her eyes.
I love Carrie dearly, but he's a tramp. I doubt he can recall all the women and men he's been with. Remember the charity auction you attended with Gideon? When I bought you that stunning red dress?
Yes, I'd never forget it. It was the night Gideon and I first made love.
I'm certain Carrie slept with a blonde he danced with that night. While they were there, they disappeared, and when they came back, well, I know what a satisfied man looks like. I would be surprised if he knew her name.
I remembered what Carrie had said before he fell asleep. You think this attack has something to do with someone he slept with? My mother blinked at me, seeming to remember that I didn't know anything.
Carrie was told to keep his hands off her, whoever her is. The detectives will be coming back later today to try to pull some names out of him.
Jesus. I scrubbed at my eyes, needing my face wash badly and a cup of coffee even more. They need to talk to Tatiana Sherlin.
Who's that?
Someone Carrie's been seeing. I think she'd get a kick out of something like this. Carrie's boyfriend caught them together and she ate it up with a spoon. She loved being the cause of the drama. I rubbed at the back of my neck, then realized the tingle I felt was another reason entirely. I looked over my shoulder and saw Gideon approaching, his long legs closing the distance between us with that measured stride. Dressed for work in a suit, with a large cup of coffee in one hand and a small black bag in the other, he was exactly what I needed at just the moment I needed him. Excuse me. I walked toward Gideon and straight into his arms.
Hey, he greeted me, with his lips in my hair. How are you holding up?
It's awful. And senseless. My eyes burned. He didn't need another disaster in his life. He's had more than his share.
So have you. And you're suffering along with him.
And you're doing the same with me. I pushed up onto my tiptoes and kissed his jaw, then stepped back.
Thank you.
He handed me the coffee.
I brought some things for you. A change of clothes, your cell and tablet, bathroom stuff.
I knew his thoughtfulness had come at a price, literally. After a weekend away, he should be digging his way out of a small mountain of work worth millions, not running around taking care of me.
God, I love you. Ava!
My mother's startled exclamation made me wince. She advocated withholding the words, I love you, until the wedding night. Sorry, Mom. Can't help it. Gideon brushed coffee-warmed fingertips down my cheek.
Gideon,
my mother began, coming up right beside us.
You should know better than to take Ava away without any means of calling for help. You do know better.
She was clearly referring to my past. I wasn't sure why she thought I was so delicate that I couldn't function on my own. She was far more fragile. I shot a sympathetic glance, Gideon's way. He held out the bag he brought for me,
the calm and confident look on his face conveying his total comfort in dealing with my mother. So I left him to it. I didn't have it in me to deal with her until I'd caffeinated myself. I slipped back into Carrie's room and found him awake. Just the sight of him made the tears well and my throat close up tight. He was such a strong and vibrant man, so full of life and mischief. It was the worst pain to see him looking so broken.
"Hey," he muttered. "Quit the waterworks every time you see me. Makes me feel like I'm gonna die or something."
Hell, he was right. My tears didn't do him any good. Instead, what little relief they gave me just put more of a burden on him. I needed to be a better friend than that.
"I can't help it," I said, sniffling.
"It sucks. Someone beat me to it and kicked your ass before I could."
"Is that right?" His scowl faded. "What did I do now?"
"You didn't tell me about Brett and 6/9.
"Oh, yeah."
A bit of his old sparkle came back into his eyes.
"How'd he look?"
"Good. Really good. Very hot, but I kept that to myself. Although right now, he might not look much better than you." I told him about the kiss and the resulting fight.
"Cross through down, huh?"
Carrie shook his head, then winced and stopped.
"Taking on Brett took guts. He's a barroom brawler who loves a good fight."
"And Gideon is a trained mixed martial artist." I began digging through the bag Gideon had brought.